I focus on the tattoos running up and down his arms. I can't pretend to live a squeaky clean life. He holds up my hand so it's palm against palm with his. Is he thinking about the difference in the color of our skin? His rough fingers against the nail polish on the tips of mine? In some ways we're so opposite, he says. I thread my fingers through his. Yeah, but in other ways we're so similar. That gets a smile out of him, until Enrique clears his throat again. I'll meet you here at 11 on Sunday, I say. Alex backs away, nods, and winks.
This time, it's a date.
Thirty-six. Alex. Man, she was kissing you like it was the last kiss of her life. If she kisses like that, I wonder how she... Shut up, Enrique. She's gonna ruin you, Alejo. Enrique continues, calling me by my Spanish nickname. Look at you already, spending time in jail last night and cutting school to get your motorcycle back. Granted, she's got a buena torta, but is she worth it? I gotta get back to work, I say, my mind whirling with Enrique's words. And as I work under a blazer for the remainder of the evening, all I want to do is make out with my mamacita again and again. Yes, she's definitely worth it. Alex, Hector is here, with Chuy, Enrique says at 6 o'clock when I'm ready to head home. I wipe my hands on my work pants. Where are they? In my office. A feeling of dread washes over me as I approach the room. When I open the door, Hector stands there as if he owns the place. Chuy is in the corner, a not-so-innocent bystander. Enrique, this is a private matter. I hadn't noticed Enrique behind me, acting as my ally should I need one. I give a nod to my cousin. I've been loyal to the blood. There's no reason Hector should doubt my commitment. Chuy's presence makes this meeting a big deal. If it was just Hector, I wouldn't be this tense. Alex, Hector says the moment Enrique is out of sight. Ain't it good to meet here instead of the courthouse? I give him a weak smile and shut the door. Hector motions to the small, ripped couch on the far side of the room. Sit down. He waits until I take a seat. I need you to do me a favor, amigo. There's no use in delaying the inevitable. What kind of favor? A shipment needs to be delivered October 31st. That's over a month and a half away. Halloween night. I don't deal drugs, I cut in. You knew that from day one. I eye Chuy like a pitcher in baseball does when a guy leads too far off base. Hector stands over me and puts his hand on my shoulder. You've got to get over what happened to your old man. If you want to lead the blood, you've got to deal drugs. Then count me out. Hector's hand tightens, and Chuy steps forward. A silent threat. I wish it were that simple, Hector says. I need you to do this for me. And, quite honestly, you owe me. Shit. If I hadn't gotten arrested in the first place, I wouldn't owe this debt to Hector. I know you won't disappoint me. By the way, how's your mother? I haven't seen her in a while. She's fine, I say, wondering what Mama has to do with this conversation. Tell her I said hello, will you? What the hell does that mean? Hector opens the door, motions for Chuy to follow him, and leaves me to stew over it. I sit back, staring at the closed door, and wonder if I have it in me to do a drug deal. If I want to keep my family safe, my choice has been made for me.
37. Brittany. I can't believe you broke up with Colin! Sierra is painting her nails on my bed after dinner. I hope you don't live to regret your decision, Britt. You two have been together for so long. I thought you loved him. You broke his heart, you know. He called Doug crying. I sit up. I want to be happy. Colin doesn't make me happy anymore. He admitted to cheating on me over the summer with some girl he met. He had sex with her, Sierra. What? I can't believe it! Trust me. Colin and I were over when he went away for the summer. It just took me a while to realize we couldn't fake it anymore. So, did you move on to Alex? Colin thinks you're mixing more than just test tubes with your chem partner. No, I lie. Even though Sierra is my best friend, she holds the belief there's a definite social divide. While I want to tell her the truth, I can't. Not now. Sierra closes the bottle of nail polish and huffs. Britt, I'm your best friend, whether you want to believe it or not. You're lying to me. Admit it.
What do you want me to say? I ask.
Try the truth for once. Jeez, Britt, I understand you don't want Darlene to know shit because she's gone off the deep end emotionally, and I can understand you not wanting the Triple M Factor knowing everything. But this is me, your best friend. You know, the one who knows about Shelley and who has seen your mom go off on you? Sierra grabs her purse and shoves it onto her shoulder. I don't want her mad at me, but I want her to know where I'm coming from. What if you want to tell Doug stuff? I don't want to put you in a situation where you have to lie to him. Sierra gives me a sneer that resembles the one I use all the time. Screw you, Britt. Thanks for making me feel like my best friend doesn't trust me. Before she leaves my room, she turns back and says, You know how people have selective hearing? You have selective disclosure. I saw you having a major conversation with Isabel Avila today in the hall. If I didn't know better, I'd say you were sharing secrets with her. She throws up her hands. Okay, so I admit I was jealous that my best friend is obviously sharing stuff with another friend and not me. When you realize I'm rooting like hell for you to be happy, call me. She's right. But this thing with Alex is so new, and I'm feeling vulnerable about it. Isabel is the only one who knows both me and Alex, so I went to her. Sierra, you're my best friend. You know that, I say, hoping she knows it's the truth. I might have trust issues, but that doesn't negate the fact that she's the closest friend I have. Then start acting like it, she says before leaving. I wipe a bead of sweat slowly dripping from my brow as I drive to meet Alex for the wedding. I picked a cream-colored fitted sundress with spaghetti straps. My parents will be home when I get back, so I put a change of clothes inside my workout bag. My mom will see the Brittany she expects to see when I get home, a perfect daughter. Who cares if it's a facade as long as it keeps her happy? Sierra was right. I do have selective disclosure. My car rounds the corner, riding the path to the body shop. When I spot Alex leaning on his motorcycle waiting for me in the parking lot, my pulse skips a beat. Oh, boy. I'm in big trouble. Gone is his ever-present bandana. Alex's thick black hair rests on his forehead, daring to be swept back. Black pants and a black silk shirt have replaced his jeans and T-shirt. He looks like a young Mexican daredevil. I can't help but smile as I park next to him.
Querida, you look like you've got a secret.
I do, I think as I step out of my car. You?
Dios mío, you look preciosa.
I turn in a circle. Is this dress okay?
Come here, he says, pulling me against him. I don't want to go to the wedding anymore. I'd rather have you all to myself.
No way, I say, running a slow finger along the side of his jaw.
You're a tease.
I love this playful side of Alex. It makes me forget all about those demons. I came to see a Latino wedding, and I expect to see one, I tell him.
And I thought you were coming to be with me.
You got a big ego, Fuentes.
That's not all I've got.
He backs me against my car, his breath warming my neck more than the midday sun. I close my eyes and expect his lips on mine, but instead, I hear his voice.
Give me your keys,
he says, reaching around and taking them from my hand. You're not going to throw them into the bushes, are you?
Don't tempt me.
Alex opens my car door and slides into the driver's seat. Aren't you going to invite me in? I ask, confused.
No, I'm parking your car in the shop so it doesn't get jacked. This is an official date. I'm driving.
I point to his motorcycle. Don't think I'm getting on that thing.
His left eyebrow raises a fraction.
Why not? Julio's not good enough for you.
Julio? You named your motorcycle Julio?
After my great uncle who helped my parents move here from Mexico.
I like Julio just fine. I just don't want to ride on him wearing this short dress. Unless you want everyone riding behind us to see my undies. He rubs his chin, thinking about it.
Now that would be a sight for sore eyes.
I cross my arms over my chest.
I'm joking. We're taking my cousin's car.
We get in a black Camry parked across the street. After driving a few minutes, he pulls a cigarette from a pack lying on the dashboard. The click of the lighter makes me cringe.
What?
He asks, the lit cigarette dangling from his lips. He can smoke if he wants. This might be an official date, but I'm not his official girlfriend or anything. I shake my head. Nothing. I hear him exhale, and the cigarette smoke burns my nostrils more than my mom's perfume. As I lower my window all the way, I suppress a cough. When he stops at a stoplight, he looks over at me.
If you've got a problem with me smoking, tell me.
Okay. I've got a problem with you smoking, I tell him.
Why didn't you just say so?
He says, then smashes it into the car's ashtray. I can't believe you actually like it, I say when he starts driving again.
It relaxes me.
Do I make you nervous? His gaze travels from my eyes to my breasts and down to where my dress meets my thighs.
In that dress you do.
Thirty-eight. Alex. If I keep looking at her long legs, I'm going to have an accident. How's that sister of yours? I ask, changing the subject. She's waiting to beat you again at checkers. Is that right? Well, tell her I was going easy on her. I was trying to impress you. By losing? I shrug. It worked, didn't it? I notice her fidgeting with her dress, as if she needs to fix it to impress me. Wanting to ease her anxiety, I slide my fingers down her arm before capturing her hand in mine. You tell Shelley I'll be back for a rematch, I say. She turns to me, her blue eyes sparkling. Really? Absolutely. During the drive, I try and make small talk. It doesn't work. I'm not a small talk kind of guy. It's a good thing Brittany seems content without talking. Before long, I park in front of a small, two-story brick house. Isn't the wedding at a church? Not for Elena. She wanted to get married at her parents' house. I rest my hand on the small of her back as we walk up to the house. Don't ask me why I feel a need to claim her as mine. Maybe deep down, I am a Neanderthal. When we enter the house, mariachi music blares from the backyard, and people fill up almost every inch of space. I check out Brittany's reaction, wondering if she feels like she's been magically transported to Mexico. My family doesn't live in big houses with swimming pools like she's used to. Enrique and a bunch of my other cousins yell greetings to us. They all speak Spanish, which would seem normal except that my date only speaks English. I'm used to being kissed to death by my aunts and given hearty slaps on the backs by my uncles. I'm not sure she is, though. I nudge Brittany closer to me as a sign that I haven't forgotten her, and attempt to introduce her to my family, but give up when I realize there's no way she'll remember all their names. Ese! Comes a voice from behind us. I turn to Paco. What's up? I say, slapping my friend on the back. Brittany, I'm sure you've seen mi mejor amigo around school. Don't worry, he knows not to tell anyone he saw you here. My lips are sealed, he says. Then, like a dork, pretends to lock his mouth and toss the key away. Hi, Paco, she says, laughing. Jorge sidles up to us, wearing a white tuxedo and a red rose in his lapel. I slap my cousin-to-be on the back. Yo, man, you really do clean up nice. You don't look too bad yourself. You gonna introduce me to your friend or not? Brittany, this is Jorge. Here's the poor guy, I mean, lucky guy, marrying my cousin Elena. Jorge hugs her. Any friend of Alex's is a friend of ours. Where's the bride? Paco asks. She's upstairs in her parents' bedroom, crying. From happiness? I guess. No, man, I went in there to give her a kiss, and now she's thinking of calling it off. Says it's bad luck to see the groom before the wedding, Jorge adds, shrugging. Good luck, I say. Elena is superstitious. She'll probably make you do some crazy shit to make the bad luck go away. As Paco and Jorge contemplate what Elena will make him do to erase the bad luck, I take Brittany's hand and lead her outside. A live band is playing. Even though we're pochos, we definitely keep our traditions and culture close. Our food is spicy. Our families are big and close, and we like to dance to music that makes our bodies move.
Is Paco your cousin?
Brittany asks. No, he just likes to think he is. Carlos, this is Brittany, I say when we reach my brother.
Yeah, I know,
Carlos says.
Remember I saw you two swapping spit?
Brittany is stunned into silence. Watch your mouth, I say, slapping Carlos on the back of the head. Brittany puts her hand on my chest.
It's okay, Alex. You don't have to protect me from everyone.
Carlos takes on a cocky stance.
That's right, bro. You don't have to protect her. Well, maybe except from Mama.
That's it. I exchange heated words with Carlos in Spanish so Brittany can't understand.
Vete, cabrón, no molestes.
Is he trying to make my date have a shitty time? With a huff, Carlos heads for the food.
Where's your other brother?
Brittany asks. We sit at one of the many small rented tables in the middle of the yard. I drape my arm over the back of her chair.
Luis is right there.
I point to the corner of the yard, where my little brother is the center of attention doing imitations of barnyard animals. I have yet to inform him that talent isn't as much of a chick magnet when you get into junior high. Brittany's eyes are focused on my cousin's four little kids, all under the age of 7, running around. 2-year-old Marissa has decided her dress isn't comfortable and has tossed it in the corner of the yard.
They probably all look like a bunch of rowdy mojados to you.
She smiles.
No, they look like a bunch of people having fun at an outdoor wedding. Who's that?
She asks as a guy in a U.S. military uniform walks past us.
Another cousin?
Yep. Paul just came back from the Middle East. Believe it or not, he used to be in the Python Trio, a Chicago gang. Man, before the Marines, he was really fucked up with drugs. She flashes me a look.
I told you before, I don't mess with drugs. Not anymore, at least.
I say firmly, wanting her to believe me.
Or deal them.
Promise?
Yeah, I say, remembering at the beach when I got fucked up with Carmen. That was the last time.
No matter what you've heard, I stay away from the coca, because that stuff ain't no joke. Believe it or not, I'd like to keep all the brain cells I was born with.
What about Paco?
She asks.
Does he do drugs?
Sometimes. She watches Paco laughing and joking with my family, desperately trying to be part of it, instead of his own. His ma left a few years ago, leaving him in a crap situation at home with his dad. I don't blame him for wanting an escape. My cousin Elena finally appears in a lacy white dress, and the wedding starts. While the vows are recited, I stand behind Brittany and gather her into my arms, holding her snugly. I wonder what she'll be wearing at her wedding. She'll probably have professional photographers and videographers capturing the moment for eternity.
Ahora los declaro marido y mujer,
the priest says. The bride and groom kiss, and everyone applauds. Brittany squeezes my hand.
Brittany. I can tell Jorge and Elena are madly in love with each other, and it makes me wonder if I'll be as in love with my future husband. I think about Shelley. She'll never have a husband, never have children. I know my own kids will love her as much as I do. She'll have no lack of love her entire life. But will she ever internally yearn for something she'll never have? A husband and family of her own? Looking back at Alex, I can't see myself involved in gangs and who knows what else. It isn't me. But this guy, smack dab in the middle of everything I'm against, is connected to me like nobody else. It's my mission to make him change his life, so one day people might say we're a perfect couple. As music fills the air, I wrap my arms around Alex's waist and lay my head on his chest. He pushes stray tendrils away from my neck and holds me as we sway to the music. A guy approaches the bride with a $5 bill.
It's a tradition, Alex explains. He's paying to dance with the bride. They call it the prosperity dance.
I observe, fascinated, as the guy attaches the $5 bill to the train of the bride's dress with a safety pin. My mother would be horrified. Someone yells to the guy dancing with the bride and everyone laughs. What's so funny?
They're saying he pinned the bill close to her ass.
I study the couples on the dance floor and try to replicate their moves as I get into the music. When the bride stops dancing, I ask Alex if he's going to dance with her too. When he says yes, I push him forward. Go dance with Elena. I'm going to talk to your mom.
You sure you want to do that?
Yeah. I saw her when we first walked in, and I don't want to ignore her. Don't worry about me. I need to do this. He takes a $10 bill out of his wallet. I try not to notice, but it's now empty. He's about to give all the money he has on him to the bride. Can he afford it? I know he works at the auto body shop, but the money he makes probably goes directly to his family. I step back until our hands separate. I'll be back soon. At the row of tables where the women are setting out platters of food, I walk up to Alex's mom. She's wearing a red wraparound dress and looks younger than my mom. People think my mom is pretty, but Mrs. Fuentes has the timeless beauty of a movie star. Her eyes are big and brown. Her eyelashes touch her eyebrows, and her skin is slightly bronzed and flawless. I tap her on the shoulder as she's getting the napkins on the table. "Hi, Mrs. Fuentes," I say. "Brittany, right?" she asks. I nod. Reintroduction over, Brittany. Stop stalling. I've wanted to say something to you since I got here, and now seems like as good a time as any, but now I seem to be rambling and not getting to the point. I do this when I'm nervous. The woman is looking at me like I have a screw loose.
Go on, she urges.
Yes. Well, I know we got off on the wrong foot, and I'm sorry if you felt disrespected in any way the last time we met. I just wanted you to know that I didn't go to your house with the intention of kissing Alex.
Forgive me if I'm curious, but what are your intentions?
Excuse me? What are your intentions with Alex?
I'm just not sure what you want me to say. To be honest, we're figuring it out as we go along.
Mrs. Fuentes puts a hand on my shoulder.
The dear Lord knows I'm not the best mother in the world. But I care about my sons more than life itself, Brittany. And I'll do anything to protect them from harm. I see the way he looks at you, and it scares me. I can't bear to see him hurt one more time by someone he cares about. Hearing Alex's mom talk about him makes me yearn for a mother who cares and loves me as much as Alex's mom loves him. Trying to swallow what Mrs. Fuentes said is close to impossible. Her words leave a lump the size of a golf ball in my throat. The truth is, lately I don't even feel like a part of my own family. I'm someone who is expected by my parents to do and say the right things all the time. I've played the role for so long to help my parents concentrate on Shelley, who truly needs their undivided attention. It's so hard sometimes, trying desperately to make up for being the normal kid. Nobody told me I didn't have to be perfect all the time. Truth is, my life is filled with never-ending, humongous amounts of guilt. Guilt for being the normal child. Guilt for feeling that I have to make sure Shelley is loved as much as I am. Guilt for fearing that my own children might be like my sister. Guilt for being embarrassed when people stare at Shelley in public places. It'll never stop. How can it when I was born with guilt right up to my ears? To Mrs. Fuentes, family means love and protection. To me, family equals guilt and conditional love. Mrs. Fuentes, I can't promise not to hurt Alex, but I can't stay away from him, even if that's what you want. I already tried that. Because being with Alex takes me away from my own darkness. I can feel tears welling in the corners of my eyes and falling down my face. I push my way through the crowd to find a bathroom. Paco is walking out of the bathroom, and I rush past him.
You might want to wait before you...
Paco's voice fades as I close the door, locking myself in. Wiping my eyes, I gaze into the mirror. I'm a complete mess. My mascara is dripping and... oh, it's no use. I slide down and sit on the cold tile floor. Now I realize what Paco was about to tell me. The place stinks. It really reeks, almost to the point where I want to throw up. I put my hand over my nose, trying to ignore the offending smell as I think about Mrs. Fuentes's words. I sit on the bathroom floor, wiping my eyes with toilet paper and doing my best to cover my nose. A loud knock interrupts my crying fit.
Brittany, you in there?
Alex's voice comes through the door.
No.
Please come out.
No.
Then let me in.
No.
I want to teach you something in Spanish.
What?
No es gran cosa.
What does it mean?
I ask, the tissue still on my face.
I'll tell you if you let me in.
I turn the knob until it clicks. Alex steps inside.
It means it's not a big deal.
After locking the door behind him, he crouches beside me and takes me in his arms, pulling me close. Then he sniffs a few times.
Holy shit! Was Paco in here?
I nod. He smooths my hair and mutters something in Spanish.
What did my mother say to you?
I bury my face in his chest.
She was just being honest.
I mumble into his shirt. A loud knock at the door interrupts us.
¡Abre la puerta! ¡Soy Elena!
Who's that?
The bride.
Let me in!
Elena commands. Alex unlocks the door. A vision in white ruffles with dozens of dollar bills safety pinned to the back of her dress squeezes her way into the bathroom, then shuts the door behind her.
Okay, what's going on?
She, too, sniffs a bunch of times.
Was Paco in here?
Alex and I nod.
What the fuck does that guy eat that it comes out his other end smelling so rotten? Damn it!
She says, wadding up tissue and putting it over her nose.
It was a beautiful ceremony,
I say through my own tissue. This is the most awkward and surreal situation I've ever been in. Elena grabs my hand.
Come outside and enjoy the party. My aunt can be confrontational, but she doesn't mean any harm. Besides, I think deep down she likes you.
I'm taking her home, Alex says, playing the role of my hero. I wonder when he'll get sick of it.
No, you're not taking her home, or I'll lock both of you in this stinking smelly room so you'll stay.
Elena means every word. Another knock at the door.
Vete! Vete!
I don't know what Elena said, but she sure said it with gusto.
Soy Jorge!
I shrug and look to Alex for an explanation.
It's the groom, he says, cluing me in.
Jorge slips in. He isn't as crude as the rest of us because he ignores the fact that the room smells like something died. But he sniffs loudly a few times, and his eyes start to water.
Come on, Elena,
Jorge says, trying to cover his nose inconspicuously, but doing a poor job of it.
Your guests are wondering where you are. Can't you see I'm talking to my cousin and his date?
Yeah, but...
Elena holds up a hand to silence him while holding the tissue over her nose with the other.
I said I'm talking to my cousin and his date, she declares with attitude. And I'm not finished yet.
You,
Elena says, pointing directly at me.
Come with me. Alex, I want you and your brothers to sing.
Alex shakes his head.
Elena, I don't think...
Elena holds up a hand in front of Alex, silencing even him.
I didn't ask you to think. I asked you to join your brothers in singing to me and my new husband.
Elena opens the door and yanks me through the house, stopping only when we reach the backyard. She lets me go, only to grab the microphone from the lead singer.
Paco!
She announces loudly.
Yeah, I'm talking to you,
Elena says, pointing to Paco talking to a bunch of girls.
Next time you want to take a dump, do it in someone else's house.
Paco's entourage of girls backs up and giggles, leaving him alone. Jorge rushes to the stage and attempts to pick up his wife. The poor man struggles while everyone laughs and claps. When Elena is finally off the stage and Alex talks to the band leader, the guests cheer for Alex and his brothers to sing. Paco sits next to me.
Sorry about the bathroom thing. I tried to warn you, he says sheepishly.
It's okay. I think Elena embarrassed you enough. I lean over to Paco and ask, seriously, what do you think of Alex and me together?
Seriously? You're probably the best thing that's ever happened to the guy.
Alex. After my dad died, our ma tried to cheer me, Carlos, and Luis with music. We'd dance around the house, taking turns singing with her. I think it was her way to forget her sorrow, at least for a little while. At night, I used to hear her sobbing in her room. I never opened the door, but I itched to break into song and make all of her hurt go away. I talked to the band before taking the microphone.
I wouldn't make a fool out of myself by doing this, but the Fuentes brothers can't ignore this special request from the bride. Elena can be pretty persuasive.
Yeah, I know, Jorge yells back. Elena punches him in his arm. He winces. Elena knows how to land a punch. Jorge kisses his bride, too happy to care. My brothers and I start to sing. It isn't a serious song. We ad-lib songs by Enrique Iglesias, Shakira, and even my favorite, Maná. When I crouch down to sing to my little cousins, I wink at Brittany. That's when I notice a hush in the crowd and whispers of shock. It's Hector. He made an appearance, which is rare. He winds his way through the yard wearing an expensive suit, while everyone stares at him. I finish the song and take my place at Brittany's side. I have an urge to protect her.
Wanna smoke?
Paco asks me, as he pulls Marlboros out of his back pocket. I briefly glance at Brittany before answering.
No.
Paco looks at me curiously, then shrugs and takes one for himself.
Great singing, Alex. If you would have given me a few more minutes, I'd have your novia in the palm of my hand.
He called her my girl. Is she my girl? I lead her to a cooler full of drinks, Paco in tow. I'm careful not to steer her toward Hector. Mario, a friend of one of my cousins, is standing over the cooler, sporting Python Trio gang collars and big baggy jeans that hang off his ass. The Python Trio are our allies, but if Brittany saw him on the street, she'd probably run in the opposite direction.
Hey, Alex, Paco,
Mario says.
I see you dressed up for the wedding, Mario,
I mutter.
Cabron, monkey suits are for white guys,
Mario says, ignoring the fact that my date is in fact white.
You suburban gangsters are too soft. In the city are the real brothers.
Okay, tough guy, Paco says with pure attitude.
Tell that to Hector.
I glare at Mario.
Mario, you keep talking shit like that and I'll give you first-hand proof of how tough we are. Never underestimate the LB.
Mario backs up.
Well, I've got a date with a bottle of Corona. Catch you later, güey.
It looks like he's carrying a load in those pants, Paco says, staring at Mario from behind. I look over at Brittany, who looks paler than she usually is. You okay?
You threatened that guy,
she whispers.
I mean, seriously threatened him.
Instead of answering her, I take her hand and lead her to the edge of the makeshift dance floor, which is really a section of grass. Slow music is playing. When I pull her close, she backs away.
What are you doing?
Dance with me, I order. Don't argue with me. Put your arms around me and dance. I don't want to hear about how I'm in a gang and how it scares her and how she wants me to be out of the gang in order for her to date me.
But don't think about what I said to Mario.
I say close to her ear. He was feeling us out, checking how loyal we are to Hector. If he senses any dissension, his gang might take advantage. You see, all gangs are separated into folks or people. Every gang is affiliated with one or the other. And those affiliated with folks are rivals with those affiliated with people. Mario is affiliated...
Alex,
she interrupts.
Yeah.
Assure me nothing's going to happen to you.
I can't.
Just dance,
I say quietly as I guide her arms around me, and we dance. Looking over Brittany, I see Hector and my mother in an intense conversation. I wonder what they're talking about.
She starts walking away from him until he grabs her arm and pulls her back and says something in her ear. Just when I'm about to stop dancing to find out what the hell is going on, Miama smiles at Hector playfully and laughs at something he said. I'm obviously being paranoid. Hours pass, and darkness falls on the city. The party is still going strong when we walk to the car. On the drive back to Fairfield, we're both quiet. Come here, I say softly when I park in the auto body's back lot. She leans over the middle console, closing the distance between us.
I had an amazing time,
she whispers.
Well, besides when I hid in the bathroom, and you threatened that guy.
Forget about that and kiss me, I say. I weave my hands in her hair. She wraps her arms around my neck as I trace the valley between her lips with my tongue. Parting her lips, I deepen the kiss. It's like a tango, first moving slow and rhythmic, and then, when we're both panting and our tongues collide, the kiss turns into a hot, fast dance I never want to end. Carmen's kisses may have been hot, but Brittany's are more sensual, sexy, and extremely addictive. We're still in the car, but it's cramped, and the front seats don't give us enough room. Before I know it, we've moved to the back seat. Still not ideal, but I hardly notice. I'm so getting into her moans and kisses and hands in my hair and the smell of vanilla cookies. I'm not going to push her too far tonight. But without thinking, my hand slowly moves up her bare thigh.
It feels so good,
she says breathlessly. I lean her back while my hands explore on their own. My lips caress the hollow of her neck as I ease down the strap to her dress and bra. In response, she unbuttons my shirt. When it's open, her fingers roam over my chest and shoulders, searing my skin.
You're perfect, she pants.
Right now, I'm not going to argue with her. Moving lower, my tongue follows a path down to her silky skin, exposed to the night air. She grabs the back of my hair, urging me on. She tastes so damn good. Too good. Caramelo. I pull away a few inches and capture her gaze with mine, those shining sapphires glowing with desire. Talk about perfect. I want you, chula, I say, my voice hoarse. She presses against my erection, the pleasure, pain, almost unbearable. But when I start to pull her panties down, she stills my hand and pushes it away.
I'm not ready for that. Alex, stop.
I move off her and sit back in the seat, waiting for my body to cool down. I can't look at her as she adjusts her straps, covering her body again. Shit, I went too fast. I told myself not to get too excited, to keep my wits when I'm with this girl. Raking my hand through my hair, I let out a slow breath. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It's not your fault. I urged you on, and you have every right to be pissed off. Listen, I just got out of a relationship with Colin, and I've got a lot of stuff going on at home.
She puts her face in her hands.
I'm so confused.
She grabs her purse and opens the door. I follow her, my black shirt open and flying in the wind behind me like a vampire's cape. Either that or the Grim Reapers.
Brittany, wait! Please, open the door to the garage. I need my car.
Don't go! I press the keypad code.
I'm sorry,
she says once more.
Stop saying that. Listen, no matter what happened, I'm not with you just to get into your pants. I got carried away with the way we clicked tonight, your vanilla scent that I wanted to keep inhaling forever, and shit, I really messed this up, didn't I?
Brittany climbs inside her car.
Can we take it slow, Alex? This is going way too fast for me.
Yeah, I say, nodding. I keep my hands in my pockets, resisting the urge to pull her out of the car. And damn it if Brittany doesn't drive away. I'd been caught up in her exploring eager hands and went overboard. I forget about everything except her when her body is close. The bet. This thing with Brittany is supposed to be about a bet, not falling for a Northsider. I have to keep in mind that I'm only interested in Brittany because of the bet, and I better ignore what I suspect are real feelings. Feelings can't be part of this game.
Brittany. I pull into a McDonald's where I can be anonymous, change into jeans and a pink wraparound sweater. and drive home. I'm scared, because with Alex, it feels too raw. When I'm with Alex, everything is way more intense. My feelings, my emotions, my desire. I was never addicted to Colin. Never wanted to be with him 24/7. I crave Alex. Oh, God. I think I'm falling in love with him. But I know loving someone means losing a part of myself. And tonight, in the car, when Alex reached under my dress, I was afraid of losing control. My entire life is about staying in control, so this is not good. It scares me. I walk through the front door of my house, ready to sneak up to my room and put the dress in my closet. Unfortunately, my mom is standing in the foyer waiting for me. "Where were you?" my mother asks sternly while holding up my chemistry book and folder. "You said you were working out, then studying with that Hernandez boy." Busted. Time to either shut up or fess up. His last name is Fuentes, not Hernandez. And yes, I was with him. Silence. My mother's lips are in a tight, thin line. "It's obvious you weren't studying. What do you have in that gym bag?" she demands. "Drugs? Are you hiding drugs in there?" "I don't do drugs," I respond sharply. She cocks an eyebrow and points to my bag. "Open it," she orders. I huff and kneel down to unzip it. I feel like a jail inmate. Pulling out my dress, I hold it up. "A dress?" my mother asks. "I went to a wedding with Alex. His cousin got married." "That boy made you lie to me."
"He's manipulating you, Brittany."
"He didn't make me lie, Mom," I say, exasperated. "Give me a little credit, would you? I did it all on my own." Her anger is in full swing. I can tell by the way her eyes are blazing and her hands are shaking. "If I ever, ever find you were out with that boy again, I'll have no problem convincing your father that you should be sent to boarding school the rest of your senior year. Don't you think I have enough to worry about with Shelley? Promise me you'll have no other contact with him outside of school." I promise, then run to my room and call Sierra. "What's up?" she says. "Sierra, I need a best friend right now."
"And you chose me? Gee, I'm flattered," she says dryly.
"Okay, I lied to you. I like Alex. Big time." Silence. Silence. "Sierra? Are you there? Or are you ignoring me?"
"I'm not ignoring you, Britt.
I'm just wondering why you chose to tell me now."
"Because I need to talk about it with you. Do you hate me?"
"You're my best friend," she says. "And you're mine."
"Best friends are still best friends even though one decides to abandon all reason and date a gangbanger. Right?"
"I hope so."
"Britt, don't lie to me ever again."
"I won't. And you can share the info with Doug as long as he promises to keep it to himself."
"Thanks for trusting me, Britt. You may not think it means a lot, but it does."
After I finish the entire story and I hang up with Sierra, feeling really good that things are back to normal with her, my phone rings. It's Isabel.
"I have to talk to you,"
Isabel says when I answer.
"What is it?"
"Did you see Paco today?"
So much for secrets.
"Yeah."
"Did you mention me?"
"No."
"Why? Did you want me to?"
"No."
"Yes."
"Oh, I don't know. I'm so confused."
"Isabel, just tell him how you feel. It worked for me with Alex."
"Yeah, but you're Brittany Ellis."
"You want to know what it's like being Brittany Ellis? I'll tell you. I'm insecure, just like anyone else, and have more pressure on me to put on an act, so people's image of me isn't shattered and they don't see that I'm really just like anyone else. and that makes me more vulnerable and more scrutinized and more susceptible to gossip.
So, I guess you probably won't be happy about the rumors spreading about you and Alex within my group of friends. Do you want to know what they are?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
If you consider yourself my friend, don't tell me. Because if I know the rumors, I'll feel like I have to confront them. And right this second, I want to live in ignorant bliss.
Alex. After having Brittany speed out of the body shop to get away from me, I'm not feeling like talking, and hope to avoid Mia Ma when I get home. But one glance at the living room sofa puts that wish to rest. The television is off, the lights are low, and my brothers have probably been sent to our bedroom.
Alejandro,
she starts.
I didn't want this life for us.
I know.
I hope Brittany doesn't put ideas in your head that shouldn't be there.
I shrug.
Like what? That she hates I'm in a gang? You may not have chosen this life for me, but you sure as hell didn't protest when I got jumped in.
Don't talk like that, Alejandro.
Because the truth is too painful. I'm in a gang to protect you and my brothers, Mama. You know that, even though we don't talk about it.
I say, my voice getting louder to match my frustration.
It's a choice I made a long time ago. You can pretend you didn't encourage me, but...
I pull off my shirt, revealing my Latino blood tattoos.
Look at me real good. I'm a gangbanger, just like Papa. You want me to deal drugs too?
Tears stream down her face.
If I thought there was another way.
You were too scared to leave this shithole, and now we're stuck.
Don't put your guilt on me or my girl. That's not fair,
she says, rising.
What's not fair is you living like a widow in perpetual mourning since Papa died. Why don't we move back to Mexico? Tell Uncle Julio he wasted his life savings sending us to America. Or are you afraid to go back to Mexico and tell your family that you failed here? We are not having this discussion.
Open your eyes. I stretch my arms out wide.
What do you have here worth staying for? Your sons? 'Cause that's a cop-out. Is this the image of the American dream to you?
I point to the shrine of my father.
He was a gangbanger, not a saint. He had no choice,
she cries.
He protected us. And now I'm protecting us. You gonna have a shrine of me when I get whacked? And Carlos? Because he's next in line, you know. And Luis after him.
Mi ama slaps me hard, then backs away. Dios mío, I hate that I upset her. I reach out to her, my fingers wrapping around her arm to hug her and apologize. But she winces.
Mama?
I question, wondering what's wrong. I wasn't rough with her, but she's acting like I was. She wrenches herself out of my grasp and turns away, but I can't let it go. I step forward and lift up the sleeve of her dress. To my horror, I find a nasty bruise on her upper arm. Its purple, black, and blue hues stare back at me, and my mind rushes back to the wedding when I saw my mom and Hector in a private discussion.
Hector did this to you?
I question softly.
You have to stop asking questions about your papa,
she tells me, quickly pulling down her sleeve to cover the bruise. Rage rumbles in my gut and spreads as I realize mi ama got bruised as a warning to me.
Why? Who is Hector trying to protect?
Is he protecting someone in the LB? Or another gang member affiliated with the LB? I wish I could just ask Hector. Even more, I'd like to retaliate and kick his ass for hurting my mom. But Hector is untouchable. We all know if I challenge Hector, it'll be as if I'm turning on the blood. She glares at me.
Don't question me on this. There are things you don't know, Alejandro. Things you should never know. Just let it go.
You think living in ignorance is a good thing?
Papa was a gang member who dealt drugs. I'm not afraid of the truth, damn it. Why is everyone around me covering up the truth?
My hands feel clammy as I hold them stiffly at my sides. A sound from the hallway catches my attention. I turn to see my two brothers, their eyes wide in confusion.
Fuck.
As soon as she sees Luis and Carlos, she sucks in a breath. I'd do anything to take the hurt away from her. I step toward her and put my hand gently on her shoulder.
Perdón, mamá.
She swipes my hand away as she suppresses a sob and runs to her room, slamming the door behind her.
Is it true?
Carlos asks, his voice as tight as a noose. I nod. Yeah. Luis shakes his head and furrows his brow in confusion.
What are you two saying? I don't understand. I thought Papa was a good man. Mama always said he was a good man.
I walk over to my little brother and pull his head into my chest.
It's all lies, Carlos blurts out. You, him, it's all lies, mentiras.
Carlos, I say, releasing Luis and grabbing Carlos's arm. Carlos looks at my hand in disgust, his temper seething.
And all along I thought you joined the Latino blood to protect us. But you're just following in Papa's footsteps. Screw being a hero. You like being an LB, but you forbid me to join. Isn't that a bit hypocritical, brother?
Maybe.
You're a disgrace to this family. You know that, don't you?
As soon as I lessen my grip on him, Carlos punches open the back door and storms out. Luis's quiet voice breaks the silence.
Sometimes good men need to do things that aren't good, right?
I ruffle his hair. Luis is way more innocent than I was at his age. You know, I think you're going to be the smartest Fuentes yet, little bro. Now go to bed and let me talk to Carlos. I find Carlos sitting on our back stoop, which faces our neighbor's yard.
Is that how he died?
He asks as I sit beside him.
In a drug deal?
Yeah.
He took you along?
I nod.
You were only 6 years old. The bastard.
Carlos cynically blows out a breath.
You know, I saw Hector today at the basketball courts on Main Street.
Stay away from him. Truth is, I had no choice after Papa died, and now I'm stuck. If you think I'm in the LB, 'cause I like it, guess again. I don't want you jumped in.
I know.
I give him a stern look, like our mother used to give me when I put tennis balls in her pantyhose and flung them to see how high they'd fly. Listen to me, Carlos, and listen good. Concentrate on school so you can go to college. Make something of yourself, unlike me. There's a long silence.
Destiny doesn't want me to join either. She wants to go to some university and get a nursing degree.
He chuckles.
She said it would be great if we went to the same university.
I listen because he needs me to stop giving advice and let him figure the rest out on his own.
I like Brittany, you know,
he says. Me too. I think of earlier when we were in the car. I got carried away big time. I hope I haven't screwed everything up with her too.
I saw Brittany talking to Mama at the wedding. She held her own.
To tell you the truth, she kind of had a meltdown in the bathroom.
For someone so smart, you're loco if you think you can handle everything.
I'm tough, I tell Carlos, and always prepared for danger. Carlos pats my back.
Somehow, brother, I think dating a girl from the North Side is tougher than being in a gang.
It's the perfect opening to tell my brother the truth. Carlos, you see guys in the LB who talk of brotherhood and honor and loyalty, and it sounds great. But they're not family, you know. And the brotherhood lasts only as long as you're willing to do what they want you to do. My mom opens the door and looks down at us. She looks so sad. I wish I could change her life and take the hurt away, but I know I can't.
Carlos, let me talk to Alejandro alone.
When Carlos is inside the house, out of hearing range, my mom sits beside me. She has a cigarette in her hand, the first one I've seen her smoke in a long time. I'm waiting for her to talk first. I've said enough tonight.
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, Alejandro,
she says as she blows cigarette smoke up at the moon.
And some of them can't be undone no matter how much I pray to the Lord above.
She reaches out and tucks my hair behind my ears.
You're a teenager who has the responsibilities of a man. I know it's not fair to you.
Está bien.
No, it's not. I grew up too fast too. I didn't even graduate high school because I got pregnant with you.
She looks at me as if seeing herself as a teenager not that long ago.
Oh, I wanted a baby so bad. Your father wanted to wait until after high school, but I was going to make it happen sooner. All I wanted in this world was to be a mom.
You regret it? I ask.
Being a mom? Never. Seducing your father and making sure he didn't use a condom? Yes.
I don't want to hear this.
Well, I'm gonna tell it to you whether you want to hear it or not. Be careful, Alex.
I am. She takes another drag of her cigarette while shaking her head.
No, you don't get it. You might be careful, but girls won't be. Girls are manipulative. I should know. I'm one of them.
Brittany is
the kind of girl that can make you do things you don't want to do.
Believe me, Mom, she doesn't want a kid.
No, but she'll want other things. Things you can never give her.
I look up at the stars, the moon, the universe that I know doesn't end.
But what if I want to give them to her?
She lets out a slow breath, the action causing cigarette smoke to fly out of her mouth in one long stream.
At the age of 35, I'm old enough to have seen people die thinking they can change the ways of the world. No matter what you think, your father died trying to fix his life. Your facts are distorted, Alejandro. You were just a little boy, too young to understand.
I'm old enough now. A tear escapes from her eye, and she wipes it away.
Yes, well, now it's too late.
Brittany.
Britt, please tell me again why we're picking up Alex Fuentes and taking him with us to Lake Geneva, Sierra says to me. My mom threatened me if I saw him outside of school, so going to Lake Geneva is a perfect place to hang out with him. Nobody will know us there. Except us. And I know you guys won't rat on me, right? I catch Doug rolling his eyes. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Going to Lake Geneva for the day on a double date is sure to be fun. Well, once Sierra and Doug get over the initial shock of the two of us as a couple. Please don't give me more shit about this. The guy's a loser, Britt, Doug says as he drives to the school parking lot where Alex should be waiting for us. She's your best friend, Sierra. Talk some sense into her. I tried, but you know her. She's stubborn. I sigh. Can you please stop talking about me like I'm not even here? I like Alex, and he likes me. I want to give this thing a chance. And you're going to do that how? By keeping him a secret forever? Sierra asks. Thank goodness we reached the parking lot so I don't have to respond. Alex is sitting on the curb beside his motorcycle, his long legs stretched in front of him. I chew my bottom lip anxiously as I open the door to the back seat. When he sees Doug driving and Sierra next to him, a muscle in his jaw tenses. Come on in, Alex, I say, and slide over. He leans into the car.
I don't think this is a good idea.
Don't be silly. Doug promised to be nice. Isn't that right, Doug? I hold my breath for the answer. Doug gives an impersonal nod.
Sure,
he says, totally monotone. Any other guy would leave, I'm sure of it. But Alex slides in beside me.
Where are we going? He asks.
Lake Geneva, I say. Ever been there before?
No.
It's about an hour away. Doug's parents have a cabin there. As we drive, you'd think we were in a library instead of a car. Nobody says a word. When Doug stops for gas, Alex gets out, walks off, and lights a cigarette. I sink lower in my seat. So far, this is not how I'd envisioned the day turning out. Sierra and Doug are usually hilarious together, but this is about as much fun as a funeral. Can you at least try and make conversation? I ask my best friend. I mean, you can spend hours talking about what kind of dog you'd rather kiss, but you can't even put two words together in front of a guy I like. Sierra turns around in her seat to face me. I'm sorry, it's just that... Britt, you can do better. A lot better. Like Colin, you mean? Like anyone! Sierra huffs and turns back around. Alex gets into the car and I give him a weak smile. When he doesn't smile back, I take his hand in mine. He doesn't return the hold, but he doesn't pull away. Is that a good sign? When we drive from the station, Alex says,
You got a loose tire. Hear that noise coming from the left rear? Doug shrugs. It's been like that for a month. No biggie. Pull over and I'll fix it, Alex says. If it falls off on the highway, we're toast.
I can tell Doug doesn't want